beached for good on the high tide line. The houseboat leaned to sea, at odds with the level earth in its ballast of stones and fishy drifts of sand. Cargo of cuttlefish, bladderwrack, blue mussels, the horn of a unicorn, the skull of a curlew, and maps for the journey.
The Blue Man by Gillian Clark.
This is my diary. Poem book. Notebook. Sometimes a real diary. Sometimes just remembering. I know this. I was happy. I used to be so happy. I was scared to go back, to find them, to find my school days. But I did.
You sure it's this one?
No, but I think it is. I can't understand it. The dunes have moved. It was green with a square of glass in the door. Made a little picture of the sea.
Ooh. Oh, what does it do? I mean, no one's going to stop us picnicking on the steps of a shabby old beach, huh? I'm starving after that cliff walk.
Was it ever painted green, do you think?
Oh.
The window's right. Look, by the road, they've gone completely.
Ah.
There used to be about 20 of them. They were lovely. All faded colours. Dusty pink, sea blues, a sort of chalky green.
The bungalow was the last proper house in the village before the dunes. Then here, this row of summer houses, only just above the high tide line. The Finches was green and cream like the house. Even then it was shabby.
Did they bring you here?
Sometimes. They gave me a key. Said I could use it to study. Don't neglect the buildings, make you sad. When they're a bit scruffy, they're friendly, but then the roof or the windows go and ghosts move in.
Yes. Houses die. And the family farm in Pembrokeshire dies. No one was left to love it. It went over two winters. Oh, I miss the sea more than the house.
I used to watch the sea and think of everything I'd ever lost. The day Tide died, my grandfather from North Wales. Then my old dog. Like my father left. The time my mother gave my favourite book away.
What was it?
The Secret Garden.
Mine was The Call of the Wild. Jack London, about a wolf.
Oh, I love that too. Mm. What were you scared of?
Dead birds in the snow. a drowned dog once in a stream.
The stuff under the legs of the summer house. Bird skulls. Oily feathers. I love it all now. Even the creepy spaces underneath, like under the bed. When I was a child, I used to jump into bed from as far away as I could in case someone was under it.
No, I used to do that. In fact, I sometimes still do.
You don't? Oh, Messiah! Having me on! This place is like a boat, isn't it? Deck, portal, smells and sounds of the sea. I used to pretend to be the Sea King's daughter. Daughter of Shlia. King Lear. On a great journey. The provisions and maps.
My head is full of sound, remembered speech, syllables, ideas just out of reach. The close loop sound of curlew and the far subsidiary roar, cadences shaped by the long coast of the peninsula, the continuous pentameter of the sea. When I was 10, a fool and a king sang rhymes about sorrow, and there I heard that nothing is until it has a world.
They took me to Stratford, to Celia. It changed everything. Like a message you couldn't read, but You knew it was important. I wrote in my diary, I found out the meaning of life.
Yeah, I found the meaning of life when I looked in a pond and saw the sky in it.
Is that why you did zoology?
It made me want to save the planet. It made me want to know more.
I was a terrible fool, too damn idle. But I knew something they didn't know. Friends, my mother, Tide knew, and the Finches. I couldn't explain it to anyone. It was quite simple, really. Say yes to life.
Shout yes, you mean?
Yes! 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 Hark, do you hear the sea?
I do. But could we eat now? Or do you want tea?
You're supposed to say no, truly. Then after a bit more, how fearful and dizzy it is to cast one's eyes so low. Then maybe the murmuring surge that on the unnumbered idle pebbles chafes cannot be heard so high.
But the unnumbered pebbles aren't idle, and we can hear the surge.
Yes. I'm not hungry. You have yours. But honestly, I can't eat. Leah is all about guilty daughters and words.
Who taught the significance of little words? All, nothing, fond, ingratitude. Words to keep me scared, awake at night. That old man's vanity and a daughter's nothing ran like a nursery rhythm in my head.
When are we going to see your mother?
Oh, I don't know. I'm dreading it. She'll tell me what a bad time she's had. How it's all Daddy's fault. How in the Catholic Church, marriage is for good, whatever he says. And why did I go away? And she never had a chance of education.
Isn't that true? I want to meet her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wish you wouldn't go on about it. Maybe you'll hate her.
No, I'm sure I won't. People interest me. Families, relationships.
Why?
Maybe it's not having my own family.
I wish you could meet the Finches then.
So do I. Well, why do you admire them so much?
They never, never said a bad word about anyone. Just give me half a chance and I'll wallow in backbiting. But I don't want to be like that. The Finches wouldn't let me get away with it.
I want to meet your real family too.
Who says they're real?
Your mother's real, or you wouldn't be so angry with her.
Men aren't supposed to be interested in relationships.
I'm not men, I'm me. And I'm hungry, but I'm not starting without you.
Yes, go on. Don't die of hunger for me. Eat. Do things without me. It's all right. Why have these huts survived? Even the vandals are useless. The weather's made a better job of it.
And why bother when there's a fairground at the other end of town? It's a lost place. It's for the seagulls.
The sea's the real wrecker. We got so excited about storms. It was during the tempest in England that did it. Oh, go on, then. Tea. A big ship went down once. I don't know when. I remember the name. Just the name. The San Tampa. I think it cracked up on Tusker Rock. We loved wrecks and smugglers. That was before I found out girls could save themselves. We could escape from the tower climbing down our own long golden tresses. We didn't have to wait for the prince. They were always fighting the salt and the wind. Battening down the hatches in winter. Tapping nails in. Walking round, patching the paintwork.
Here? Or the house?
I was thinking of the house.
The last house. Before the sea, it was home to me. The Finches. Three sisters who travelled the world. Two were thin and blue-eyed and wore their grey hair in plaits. Miss Grace Finch's plaits began behind her ears and their ends made a crown on top of her head. Miss Rose Finch made her plaits into a bun like a pile of rope. Mrs. Mary Price was the youngest and had white curls. She was plumper than the Finches, untidier, prettier, jollier. Their hair flew like silver grasses when they came up from the beach in the evenings, with the sun behind them, flat sandals scuffing the sand.
It's a squalid sort of beach. Wrecked boats, a dead bird.
Oh, I love it.
You can't, Kat. Oh, I hate beaches like this. Give me 10 beach.
I love it.
Oh, there's oil washed up. There's probably sewage.
I love it. You can't see what I see. It's a question of taste.
It's a question of sentimentality.
A question of love. They used to play me the Sea Symphony. Mrs. Price read me Walt Whitman. Daddy used to read Whitman.
Behold the sea itself, and on its limitless heaving breast the ships. See where their white sails bellying in the wind speckled green and blue.
Often I don't know what it means. Not just Whitman, poetry.
You don't have to. I learnt that with Welsh hymns in chapel and Latin at school. It's mysterious music. Mm. You just let it happen to you. What's your favourite one?
It's a Christmas carol, Christina Rossetti. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone.
Yes. Mm. Mine's winter too, Keats. It's my favourite this week. The owl, for all his feathers, was a cold. Their hair limped trembling through the frozen grass. And silent was the flock in woolly fold.
Hmm. What did they do before they were old?
They were teachers. One used to be a missionary, till she had her doubts about God. I kept quiet about that at school. I wasn't sure about religion myself. The walls and floors were covered with rugs. Faded reds, inky blues. They had carved African heads and things I wasn't sure anyone should have, like ivory elephants and a case of butterflies. So real they might be quivering. And the blue man.
What?
No. Don't ask. Stay here. I'm going down to the sea.
Oh, I'll come too.
No, you stay.
Just teach me to like it here.
You wouldn't like it. It's squalid, as you said. Oh, Jack, don't try to like things just for me. One minute you're ratty, and the next you're overdoing the effort. This isn't working. I should have come on my own. It's mine.
Okay, go and drown yourself.
Look, I'm sorry. But this is private stuff. It's mine, and I don't want you to say you like it or you don't like it. Let me go. Look after the things.
What's not working? Let's talk about it.
No, I can't. Just let me go. Down to the sea.
Friday, 11th of September, 1959. I wheel my bike up the path and lean it against the wooden steps that lead up to the door. God, yes, I remember. I was wet, cold and happy. Finished the paper round for the week. Sack empty, payday. And I got an A for my essay.
Catherine, Carrier, come in.
Dear, dear, look at you. Look at this, Mary. Chopping wet as a seal. You should wear a hat, my dear. You'll catch your death.
Oh, rubbish, Grace. Germs don't travel in raindrops. Getting wet never did anybody any harm. You'll soon be warm and dry.
Reach me a towel down off the rack, Mary.
Where is Rose?
Out fetching parsley.
I can see them now. Grace Finch stoops to lift the rolls from the oven with a tea towel, leaning her other hand against her knee to help her straighten up as she turns, wiping the flour on her pinny. And a pan of cowl on the hob, with lovely bright vegetables bobbing under a curl of steam. Rose Finch comes in from the rain, with a trug full of herbs and muddy carrots and little white turnips, things I never eat at home. Mum wasn't much of a cook.
It's a deluge out there. Oh, God love her, she's drowned.
Get the rack down for me, Mary. Hang up that soaking jacket.
Right, come here, Carriard, I'll rub your hair. Hot towel now, please, Grace. Fine. Hoist it up. There she goes. It'll soon dry. The parsley wants washing. These little turnips are like pullet eggs. The carrots are so sweet, I ate one in the rain.
Weird, my mother called them. Hugs and cowl were not on the menu at home. Last house on my paper round. Last house on the beach road before it fizzled out in a track between the dunes.
After the sea ships, after the whistling winds, after the white grey sails taut to their spars and ropes, below, a myriad, myriad waves hasten, lifting up their nets.
The last house. That's what they all called it. The postman, Mr. Jones, the paper shop, everybody. At school, it was Finch's. A rambling wooden bungalow sitting on a veranda that ran all around it. It boomed. It thudded, rattled and breathed. In winter, the wind off the dunes shook and thumped it, sandblasting the paint off the walls. I swear, if it hadn't been weighed down with books and things, it would have blown out to sea.
Wild, wild the storm and the sea high running. Steady the roar of the gale with incessant undertone muttering.
You'd hear the wind whistling in the marram grass, stinging the windows, and a deeper sound, like waves breaking in the elms at the edge of the convent lawn. I've forgotten the elms. Dutch elm disease must have got them by now. Nothing left but five dead elms and a rusty bell hanging silently. Where's she gone, the nun who rang the Angelus? Sister Eukaria. It gives me the creeps to think about it. My mother moved into town with my sister after the split. Dad got a flat. Just a room, really. She let me stay on in the convent, hoping I'd grow up a good Catholic. I had to board to do my A-levels. It was a brand new life. There were only 20 of us, but too many for the convent house, so three of us were lodged at Finch's. It wasn't like being a proper boarder. I had a room of my own for the first time. A tiny wooden room, with nothing but the sand dunes outside my window. The only thing we hated about sleeping at Finch's was walking back in the pitch dark after study. Through the orchard, past the log shed. Watch out! I can hear the headless nun rattling her rosary. Through the gap in the wall, down the rock steps, along the path. Quick! To the door! Run or Sister Headless will get you! Watch you don't trip!
Something's going on! What has she do? Come in. The dog can't do you any harm. Oh, will you look at those stars?
Can we look through the telescope? Can we, Mrs. Price?
You should see Africa. There's real dark for you. When we were with the mission, we'd sit on the veranda under the stars, listening to the night.
Please don't get rambling roads going on Africa. Come on in.
Cocoa and a nice fire.
Go on with you, Catherine. You're not scared of the dark.
Mrs. Price, tell us a star story before we go to bed. And can we use the telescope?
Oh, please, it's Friday. No school tomorrow.
You can have a quick look at the sky before your cocoa.
Thank you, Mrs. Price.
You can take the astronomy book to bed with you. Jupiter this week.
Right, let's go out and look.
Planet talk was poetry. Words to keep me scared. Awake at night.
Jupiter is the largest of the planets. In 1610, Galileo discovered that Jupiter is not alone in the heavens. He invented a primitive telescope and discovered four of the moons that circle the giant planet. They are named Io, Europa, Callisto and Ganymede, after the lovers of Zeus, or Jupiter.
Mummy, they're just super.
It's the most beautiful house in the world. I want a house like that. I'm never going to live on an estate. I hate houses all the same.
I've always tried to give you a nice home. Not like that shabby place.
Oh, Mum.
Full of John Carbering germs. Don't they own a Hoover? And why don't they comb their hair and dress like other people? If I had my way, you'd come home and do a secretarial course. I can't see the point of A-level. I didn't have A-level. It didn't stop me bettering myself.
The point of A-levels is I'm going to university, Mum. And you can't stop me. Daddy says...
Sure, you're your father's daughter. You never listen to me.
I don't care what you say. I'm having a house full of things just like them. Books, floor to ceiling. And I'm going to learn Welsh like Dad. You can't stop me.
You care for those dirty old women more than your own mother.
They are not dirty. They're kind and they never, never have rows.
Catherine, it is you doing the shouting.
Well, why can't you ever say anything nice about anyone? I'm going. I've got my Wordsworth at it to do.
Wordsworth? Where will Wordsworth get you?
I stopped telling my mother about the Finches, about Sunday nights by the fire. They'd put on some music or read to me, poetry sometimes, or my favourite, Maurice Maeterlinck's The Life of the Bee. They had two hives in a wild orchard. Rose did the bees. Sometimes I helped her with the honey, the love ferment of every flower of spring. Good old Maeterlinck.
You're sure you want to, Catherine? You have to be calm. Bees can sense fear. Now, take no notice of the noise. They're only guarding the gold. They can't touch you if you've tucked the veil in properly. Now, you keep those gauntlets tight to my sleeves. I don't need them. They know me.
I can't hear myself think.
You don't have to think. Just relax. Can you hold this for me? It's heavy.
The whole floor of the hive.
It's a super. The honey frames hang in it.
Oh, they're all over my veil. It's deafening. I'm inside an organ, playing Bach.
They can't get in. It's just a war dance. They're singing a spell to warn us.
Oh, the smell. It's like heaven.
Oh, look at that sting. Oh, never mind.
It's good for the rheumatism, so they say.
There was a 10th century law about bees. It's lovely what it said in the laws of how it are. The lineage of bees is from paradise, and it was because of man's sin that they came from there, and that God gave them his grace. And therefore, mass cannot be sung without the wax.
I'll have to tell Sister Martha about that.
I read you The Life of the Bee.
Let us go on, then, with the story of our hive. Let us take it up where we left it, and raise, as high as we may, a fold of the festooned curtain in whose midst a strange sweat, white as snow, and airier than the down of a wing, is beginning to break over the swarm. For the wax that is now being born is not like the wax that we know. It is immaculate. It has no weight, seeming truly to be the soul of the honey, that itself is the spirit of the flowers.
They had a beautiful old copy of The Life of the Bee. It was bound in green leather. They had poetry books like that too, hand-printed, woodcuts of waterfalls, whirlpools, and lovers. They made me ache. I had a Welsh book that made me feel like that when I was little, but my mother gave it away. I knew some of the words, remembered from Tide, who died when I was 4.
Mae hiraeth yn y môr ar mynydd maith. Mae hiraeth mewn distawrwydd ac mewn can. Mewn mirmir dyfroedd ar bygywydd daith. Yn oriau'r machlyd ac yn fflamau'r tân.
My mother had a snobbish way of saying Welsh, probably because of her and Dad not getting on. I was determined I'd learn to speak it. Chapel hymns had better tunes than Catholic ones, especially the one where love was like the sea. The men's voices were like the sea too, Cariad vel y moroedd. Tide called me Cariad. Dad still does. It was good at the summer house when the sun shone. But when shadows came, I was glad to scuff home for tea. One Sunday that last term, I got back to Finch's and my supper was ready. The younger girls had gone to bed. I told Mrs. Price I'd had a good afternoon. I'd read some of Wordsworth's Prelude and written my English essay. That pleased them.
You'll never be sorry you worked for your exams, Katrin. There's nothing like good qualifications.
But education isn't just exams, my dear. There's more to life than exams. Music, art, nature, travel. You've got to feed the soul.
Tell me about South America, Mrs. Price.
What shall I tell you? You've heard it all before.
Tell me again. Tell me about Ernesto.
We were in Patagonia to start with. He spoke Spanish and Welsh and English in that order. And all I could speak at first was English. Dear Ernesto, he was a brilliant archaeologist who travelled all over the world. He was working in Bolivia when he died. We were very happy in South America. It was a good life. Then he got a fever. I'm a well-heeled widow there, but I'm just a pensioner here.
Why couldn't you bring it home?
Oh, it's a poor country. They couldn't let people come in and make money and take it away.
Mary doesn't need money. What would she spend it on?
Three old women. We dawdle along. We're quite happy. Airy Mary, Rambling Rose and me.
Which would you choose, Katrin? South America and all the money and all the treasures you could imagine? Or this rustly old house by the sea?
I want both, Miss Finch. I love it here. My room, this beautiful house. But I want to travel the world like you. I want to go everywhere. And I want to come home to Wales. One day I'm going to rescue the South American money. I'll pack it into my knickers. And when I come to the airport, they'll think I'm very fat.
Go on, you can look in the cabinet. Now, take them out one at a time. Read the labels. Ernesto used to write them out with his beautiful longhand.
Mrs. Price, can I hold the blue man? I've always wanted to.
You should have asked. Special evening. Hold your hands out.
Oh, he's so cold and heavy and so blue. What's he made of?
It's a mineral. Would you call it cobalt blue?
See?
Flecks of gold.
Is it real gold?
Oh, he's got something better than gold to give you. Turn him slowly away from you under the light. Like this. Now, back. What can you see?
He smiled at me. He really smiled. Look,
wonderful, isn't it? Ernesto showed me how to turn him. As the light moves from his gaze to his profile, he seems to be smiling. Oh, that smile used to comfort me when Ernesto died. Once someone has smiled at you, you can't forget it. The face has chosen you.
Yes, that's really true. Circa 1100 BC, Egyptian.
Lapis lazuli blue. It's a grave god.
Lapis lazuli. Was it the word that did it? Or the story? I held him in a kind of ecstasy. This is what it was to be the chosen one. We schoolgirls talked of love all the time. Watched it in the stares of window cleaners, the gardener, the betterware man. Was it so different to be the chosen of three old ladies? To receive their gifts and kindnesses? Once you're chosen, something tells you that you'll be chosen again. Like what Mrs. Price said about someone smiling at you. It marks you, like baptism.
Your life is before you, my dear.
Oh, to be young again.
Your life's at your feet.
I saw a golden road ahead. I thought about the road they travelled. What was he like, a young, dead archaeologist? Black curly hair, I knew that. And blue eyes. Lapis lazuli eyes.
I'm going to be an archaeologist, Mrs. Price. And I'll have a house like this one, with treasures in it. I'm going to have flints and ammonites and pottery and books and rugs from Iran and...
And Bach and Beethoven and Schubert and Keats and Coleridge and Shakespeare.
Yes, I'm having those too.
Oh, you'll do it, my dear, you'll do it.
Who's on the menu tonight, Mrs. Price? I've got to do my Coleridge revision. I've got to learn quotes.
Go on then, let's hear it.
The sun's rim dips, the stars rush out. At one stride comes the dark. With far-heard whisper o'er the sea, off shot the spectre bark. That's my favourite. The moving moon went up the sky, and nowhere did abide. Softly she was going up. And a star or two beside.
Beyond the shadow of the ship I watched the water snakes. They moved in tracks of shining white, and when they reared, the elfish light fell off in hoary flakes.
Oh, happy living things, no tongue their beauty might declare. A spring of love gushed from my heart, and I blessed them unaware.
I finished my A-levels that summer, and left school just after my 18th birthday. I was very young. It's hard to imagine now how young we used to be.
But now for my party record.
That's so fashion, Mr. Price.
Oh, come on, dance.
Sit down.
Oh, look, it's a book with gold writing. Where'd you get the gold, Miss Finch?
Ways and means, my dears. Blow them out, catch it.
Hooray!
Thank you for the party.
Happy birthday, Captain. Good night.
Good night. Brilliant cake, Miss Finch. Good night.
Good night. Oh, wait a minute, Captain. We'd like a little word.
I never used to like it, Miss Finch. Classical music. Just got to give it a try.
Of course you have. Say yes to everything.
That's my motto. Yes to life.
Certainly not drugs. Not to everything. Moderation in all things.
Captain knows what I mean.
Don't waste a minute of your life. Don't reject things before you try them.
Cultivate a reverence for life. That's a better motto.
Both, Grace. Taste, relish, and revere it, including the fruit of the vine.
Share.
Not a word to Sister Martha.
From Venice.
Oh, you must see Venice, Catherine.
I will, Miss Finch.
We want you to have a little present. Pass the key, Rose. I'm old and I know you like these things. Choose something.
Oh, no, don't say that. You're not old, Mrs. Price. Anyway, I couldn't.
Yes, I am, and of course you could. You must. I want you to.
They're all so lovely. I don't like to say.
I don't like to say. Why do you girls always say that? Make up your mind, Catherine.
I held little pieces of pottery. I loved every one of them. I'd have chosen anything. Were it not for the alluring gaze of the blue man. I wished they'd put him away, so I could think properly.
I couldn't. I don't want to take something from you.
Choose. We can't take them with us when we go.
I felt sick. When they go, like everyone else, they would go. I concentrated hard again. He was already chosen, but I dared not say. Last of all, I weighed him in my hand until he was blood warm. I looked at their faces.
The blue man. I love him.
Grace, pass that box. You see? It is to hold Ernesto's Havana cigars.
Perfect fit. Did you know all the time that I'd choose him?
To remember us. And I promise I won't tell anyone about those tears.
Beyond the shadow of the ship, I watched the water snakes. Oh, happy living things. No tongue their beauty might declare. A spring of love gushed from my heart, and I blessed them unaware.
Gas! 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 Watch out! You'll be cut off! The tide's coming in fast!
Oh, Jack, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been blessing the water snake.
Well, I'm sorry too. Can we talk?
Let's walk. I want to show you something.
Oh, what is it? It looks Egyptian. What's it made of?
It's what they gave me for my birthday. The last night of school.
Is it valuable?
I don't know. So precious, I hope not. I took him to the museum to have him valued. Made an appointment, kept the expert waiting. Then I just turned away. That's stupid.
Hey, never mind, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, it doesn't matter. Jack, let me show you something. Turn him. Towards the sunset, then back.
What am I supposed to see?
Just look at him. Did he do anything?
Oh my God, yes! He smiled at me. What a clever trick. What's the light? It's a little smile, one-sided. It's like your smile.
You can see it. Yes, it's the light, but he does it all the same. Jack, where has love gone?
Oh, how can you ask that?
No. Don't say it.
It's everywhere.
No, it isn't. Not the real thing. It's too easy. Do you know what Mrs. Price said to me? Don't rush love, Catherine. Save it up for something good. I envy her. I want what she had.
We're not all cynics. There are some romantics left. Some men want love.
Oh, where are they then? Look at the men we know. Either weeds or gorillas. People use the word love, but they don't mean it. The real thing is difficult. I want it to be difficult. I want someone to cross seven rivers and kill a dragon for me.
If I say me too, Kat, you'll tell me to stop agreeing with you.
No, I won't. I want you to agree with me about this. I just don't want you to pretend to agree with me about other things.
I'm not pretending.
There's something else.
What? Well, go on, I'm listening.
I have a confession to make. I've got to tell someone. I've lost them.
What?
The Finches. I've sort of mislaid them when I left school and went to India. I wrote to them once from Delhi. I came back to find my letter returned with not known at this address on it. I was afraid to go back to look for them.
And you never came back to see the house. You never asked.
Oh, Jack, I was too scared. I had this dream. I still have it. About taking the Blue Man to the museum. And it gets mixed up with a derelict house full of sea wind, and round it the whole world's falling to ruin. Then I turn away from the woman at the desk, and the woman's my mother, and I begin to run. And then I check if he's still there in my bag in his box. I wake up. I can't breathe. I have to get out of bed and check he's not lost. And I don't know who he is lying in his box. Is it Tide? Is it Daddy? Is it Ernesto, the archaeologist?
Oh, Kat, I didn't know. It's all a tangle. parents, childhood, the people who make a difference.
They were so good to me. They loved me. How could I be so careless? They were the best thing that ever happened to me.
We'll find them. Let's see if the house is there, Kat, now. They might be still there. Letters can get returned by mistake. We'll find them, and they'll understand. And if they're not there, if they're gone, if they're dead, you can still say sorry. How long is it? 7 years? That's not long.
Harry, grab the stuff. We must go now.
Kat, they may not be there. They may have moved. Old people's home or somewhere.
But you said we'd find them. We'll run all the way. Maybe they're alive. Hold my hand. Even if it's empty and derelict, I want to stand outside that house and be forgiven.
Within the shadow of the ship, I watched their rich attire. Blue, glossy green, and velvet black, they coiled and swam, and every track was a flash of golden fire.
The world below the brine. Forests at the bottom of the sea, the branches and leaves, sea lettuce, vast lichens, strange flowers and seeds, the play of light through the water, the leaden-eyed shark, the walrus, the turtle.
Today, I swim beyond the empty headland in search of the giant's stone. Do I see it through green translucent water, shadow of a wreck, a drowned man's shoulder, a clavicle huge as a ship's keel, wedged between rocks?
Is this it? It is, isn't it?
Oh, God, look. It's in a terrible state, but it's not in ruin.
Someone's there, Kat. Someone's inside. The window, look. A hand wiping away steam.
And in the garden. Someone's in the garden. Miss Finch.
Oh, Katrin, it's you. With your young man. Oh, lovely.
Rose? Rose? Tea is ready.
Look who's here, Grace.
Listen to the bees.
Beyond the shadow of the ship, I watched the water snakes. They moved in tracks of shining white, and when they reared, the elfish light fell off in hoary flakes.
Oh, happy living things, no tongue their beauty might declare. A spring of love gushed from my heart, and I blessed them unaware.
In The Blue Man, Katrin was played by Cyril Jenkins. Mary Price was played by Margaret John. Rose Finch by Jennifer Hill, and Grace Finch and Mother by Manon Edwards. Jack was played by Robert Harper, and Father by Michael Povey. The Blue Man was written by Gillian Clark and directed in Wales by Alison Hindle.